Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, I hope you're enjoying church at home today, as we always take the last Sunday of the year to give our ministry team the time off, just to honor them. But it's been such a privilege today as we join with our good friends at the Movement Church, Carrie and Megan Robinson, known them for so long, and man, having such a fun time doing that with them today. And I just want to let you know of a couple of things that are coming up. But right before I do that, if this is your first time joining us at Canvas Church, would love for you to do this. Literally just text the word new to the number on the screen right now and just follow the prompts as they come up, or click on the link that's coming up right now by our service host and follow that. We want to connect with you, get you plugged into the church, and let you know about the great things that are taking place. One of which is this, is we are doing our prayer and fasting coming up, and so we'd love for you to get involved in that. In the past, we've done 21 days of prayer and fasting, but this year we're going to focus 7 days intentionally. We're going to throw a bunch of worship in with it, and it's going to be awesome. And so make sure you mark your calendar with the dates that are coming up right now. Going to be an incredible time together. Also, if you want to know how to give, real simple here at Canvas Church, text the word give to the same number or follow that link and continue to worship God with your giving. Well, today is not just church at home. It is also Believe Sunday. And we've once again come together with our good friends, and we got a great message planned for you today. And so what we want you to do throughout the service, there's going to be a time where some prompts come up for you to get a card that you can download and you can fill out. And we want you to fill that out with the things that you are believing for and praying for 2021. It's going to be a great year. I believe that. And more importantly, it's going to be a great message today. So go ahead, get out your app right now and follow along with your notes.
Well, good morning, Movement Church. Good morning, Canvas Church. We're so excited to be celebrating together this last Sunday of 2020.
Thank God it's over.
Who's ready for it to be over?
Yes.
We all are.
I mean, I'm so ready. And for us at the Movement Church, and I believe you guys at Canvas Church too, we always take the last Sunday of the year to just take a moment and to refocus our faith and to get our expectation up for what we are believing for God to do in 2021. And so we are so excited to be sharing today, but what we want to encourage you to do is today to really be prepared to believe big for 2021. We're going to be writing down our top 10 prayer requests for the year 2021 with belief that God can do some major big things. I mean, I'm excited about this new year. I hope you guys are too. So as we go through the service today, pay attention to the prompts on the screen, because we want you to join in and be writing down your top 10 prayer requests for 2021, right?
Absolutely. We'll tell you more about how to do that as we get into the service, but just follow the prompts on the screen. Everything will be there. But here's what's really exciting, is that we literally have about 80 years collectively of ministry just between Megan and Katie. No, I'm kidding. But we are excited. These guys are some of our closest and oldest friends. In fact, when we first moved here, they were the first church to really say, hey, we're behind you, we're for you. And we've been friends
thanks for that, guys.
Yeah, thank you for being great friends. And so I'm excited to see what God's going to do and pull from this. What we're hoping for Movement Church folks, for Canvas Church folks, is listen, we just want to inspire you that God's up to something big. He's going to do some things exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. We want to help build your faith. You've got friends in this. You're not alone. But let's dive in. Here's what we're going to do. We're just going to kind of ask some questions, have a conversation. So take some notes. You don't want to miss the moments of what God is going to do as we're believing God to do big things in the upcoming year. And let's just start there. Katie, I'm coming to you first. I think that most of us want to believe big. Most of us want to dream big, but it's challenging. And so the question is this: why is it so difficult for us to believe God can do the miraculous in our life?
Yeah. I believe everything in the kingdom of God is received by faith.
Wow.
Everything is. But what I've come to experience is my previous experiences can impact my faith.
Totally.
And there are two passages of scripture that I'm drawn to as I think about this. And the first one is in Mark chapter 6. And the two passages passages I'm going to read to you tonight out of Mark chapter 6 and then Matthew chapter 8, we see that Jesus was amazed at the faith of the people.
Wow.
And either it was their lack of faith or their great faith. And so in Mark chapter 6, it says that Jesus was in, he was in his hometown of Nazareth. Mm. So he's in his hometown. He's going into the synagogue and he's preaching and teaching there. But the people scoffed at him. Mm. The people scoffed and they said, "This is just the son of a carpenter." And it says here in verse 5, it says, "And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them." I mean, that sounds like some miracles to me. However, it says, and he was amazed at their unbelief. Then Jesus went on continuing to teach in various other places. And then there's another passage, though, in Matthew chapter 8. In that passage, he's in Capernaum. And Capernaum is a place where the majority of Jesus's miracles happened, right there in Capernaum. And it says here in this passage that there was a Roman centurion. He's coming and he's pleading with Jesus, "I need you to heal my servant." And Jesus is about ready to go to his house, but he stops him and says, "No, I'm not worthy that you would come to my house. Whoa. Just say the word." Wow. And when Jesus hears this, it says in verse 10, he was amazed and he turns to the people that were following Jesus. And he says to them, "I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel." Wow. It was about the faith. It was about the people in Nazareth. There was a lack of faith that he was amazed at. But the people in Capernaum, it was the great faith that he was amazed at. But here's the difference between the two. Their experiences impacted their faith.
Right. Wow.
So the people in Nazareth experienced Jesus as a carpenter's son.
Wow.
But the people in Capernaum had experienced him as the miracle worker.
Wow.
And so our personal experiences, our past experiences with God, and specifically, I believe, as individuals, our past experiences with maybe a father figure in our life can impact how we view God.
Mm.
And so maybe you've had a father in your life, a natural father that maybe would say one thing and did another.
Wow.
Therefore, you struggle to believe whether or not then our Heavenly Father can indeed do miracles in our lives. So I really think our experiences, both in the natural, but then our experiences in the spiritual affect and impact our faith.
Yeah,
that's powerful. So and I think that the point that you made is how they saw Jesus was such a profound point.
Yeah.
One saw him as the carpenter,
just
some ordinary guy. The other saw the miraculous. And I think that's where I struggle so often with my faith is, can I see him as the miracle working God right now and right here? And that's
so
the challenge.
Wow.
That's so good.
And you know, regardless of what our experiences have been in our past, maybe with a natural father, or maybe experience of having prayed for something before and not seeing it come to pass, we still need to believe and have faith that God is indeed who he says he is, and he can indeed do miracles in our lives. But here's the thing. Sometimes our choices can actually impact how he moves in our lives. And so, Megan, my question for you is, what are things that we could be doing right now that might be preventing God from moving miraculously in our lives?
Yeah, what are some things that I could be doing right now that might be preventing God from moving miraculously in my life? I think one of the things that I can do is demanding my own timing.
Mm.
I think we get so impatient with God sometimes. And we think that when we pray a prayer, it should be similar to a Disney movie, like the genie in a lamp, where we pray a prayer and then poof, it happens, right? And we're looking for a miraculous working God to work in our time frame. But what I've learned about God is very rarely do things happen in my time frame. In fact, somebody once told me God is never late. He's never early, but he's always right on time. And I didn't like that very much. But that's the truth. I think that sometimes I can prevent myself from seeing the miraculous working hand of God because I'm so focused on my own time frame.
Yeah.
But I love that song that we sing, Waymaker, where it says, "Even when I can't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working." It's this reminder that God is not bound by our time frames, and he's aligning all of the pieces in our life. And oftentimes we're praying for a miracle, and in our minds, we think it'd be great if it came right now, but see, God knows what's best for each and every one of us, and he's working all of the details together for our good. I love what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. And he tells his disciples, hey, listen, when you pray, pray like this: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I just think that learning how to pray with that kind of expectation, listen, God, this is what I desire, but God, your will be done. It's praying with an expectation saying, God, I want what you want for me. But you know, I also think that one of the things that I do that might prevent God from moving miraculously in my life is really when I abdicate my role. You might be familiar with the passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 25. It's the parable of the talents. And basically, a man, he's leaving town and he entrusts with his servants some talents that he is going to leave them with to steward while he's out of town. And he leaves one with five and one with two and another with one. And I'm summing up the story for you here, but the bottom line is the man who he gave five talents to went out and multiplied it. Yeah. The man who he gave two talents to went out and multiplied it, but the man with one said, oh, I've got to make sure that I take care of this one talent. And he buried it in the ground. And the parable really is Jesus going, listen, I've given you this life to live. I've put you here in this time and in this season for a purpose, and I'm entrusting you to steward this life well. And I think often we are praying for the miraculous while at the same time abdicating our role in stewardship that God has trusted us with in this life. You know, often I hear people, and I talk to so many people who are praying for God to do a miracle in their finances. Mm-hmm. But yet, when we go to talk about tithing, nobody wants to hear about tithing. Yet that's the key to what God wants to do to unlock the miraculous in your finances. Or maybe they're just charging up credit card debt because it's like, oh, I just don't have enough. But what I'm challenging you with is if you're praying for a miracle in your finances, maybe you need to make sure you're being a good steward of what God's entrusted you with right now. Or maybe you're praying for a miracle in your relationships. And listen, the Bible holds keys to all of our relationships and how we're to function in all of our relationships. But are you being a good steward with the relationships you have now? Are you operating in love and patience and kindness? The scripture gives us clues. The Bible's like a giant playbook for our life that God's entrusted us with so we can steward this life well. And so I just want to encourage you to be a good steward of what God has given you. God's not man that he can lie. So if he has a promise in the Bible, he will be faithful to complete that for you. He is a miracle working God. And I just get excited about that. In fact, I just have to share, as we're doing why can't I speak today?
You're doing a great job speaking.
The Believe Sunday, we're writing down our top 10 prayer requests. Yes. And we always, at our church, we have people write down the one impossible thing. The one thing that you go, I don't know if God could actually do this, but it's something I'm believing for. And I looked at our belief card. It came back in the beginning of December. And the one impossible thing that was written on our belief card was believing for a miracle home in California. A home that is light.
To call our own.
And bright. A home that we can call our own.
We've been renting for 10 years.
That's right. A long time. A home where we can have our kids bring their friends over and we can entertain. And honestly, it just seemed impossible. And seemed like there was no way that could happen. I mean, California, you guys. And the celebration.
I like how you just say California, you guys.
Everybody knows.
Everybody
what
knows
talking
what that
about.
Means. Lockdown, mask on. It's going to be challenging.
It is. But this year, in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of 2020, we got news that my grandpa, who passed away last year, left an inheritance for us. And that inheritance has made a way for us to be able to purchase our very first home.
Somebody hand claps somewhere, wherever you're watching.
The one impossible thing. And listen, we close on it in 2 days.
That's exactly right.
And that is because of the miracle working power of God, working in his timing, not my timing. And I just believe it's because we've really done our best to be a steward with what God God has put in our hands.
That's awesome.
So anyhow, all that to say, I can share the miracle story in my life, but I know that some of you might be tuned in and saying, you know, I hear that for you, Pastor Megan, and I hear you guys talking about believing in a miracle working God, but I still struggle to believe. And so, Pastor Carrie, maybe you could talk to us about how to grow our faith when we're struggling to believe.
Yeah, what will also be a miracle is to stay in the time frame, because Megan took like 20 minutes longer than the rest of us have been allotted. So y'all pray. Would you stretch your hands towards me? A little bit of faith.
He's
this
gonna
direction.
Always give me a hard time about that.
I gotta
that.
Say one
I
thing.
I had to tell the story.
You did good. High five. You know, you said one thing. We were at your church. I will say probably the first year we were here, you in regards to our finances, you said, and I've never forgotten it. We use it in our church. I've just always taken credit for it.
Do it.
But you said, if you'll take the wisdom of budgeting and the faith of tithing, you'll never know lack.
Come on.
And I think that was such a profound yet simple statement for me to hear. And I think that the idea of this is not that God is a genie in the bottle, but we do have an onus.
Yes.
And I just thought that was such a profound. I want to give you credit for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That's the last time.
After all these years, I
received
that.
So good.
I received that.
All right, let me get back, because we're way over time.
We're doing good.
The question is, how do I grow my faith when I struggle to believe? And I wanted to give some practicals. So if you're taking notes, write this down at Movement Church Fam. You can find these in the app, and Canvas Church Fam, write these down. You're probably holding a phone. But I just want to encourage you with a couple practicals. How do I grow my faith when I'm struggling to believe? Number one, we got to look at the past. And I'm not saying be ruled or dominated by your past.
Right.
But we have to look at the past. Right. When we look back at our life, we will always see the hand of God at work and his faithfulness, his promises over and over again. Have you ever been in a scenario that you thought was so horrible, so awful, there's no way you're going to make it through it? And yet right now you're watching, you're still here today. That's the hand of God at work in your life. See, looking back, we can see the dots connected, and that's how we remind ourselves of the faithfulness of God. So look at the past.
Yeah.
Number two, look at the good stuff. Somebody say, look at the good.
Look at the good.
Maybe you look good, by the way. Look at the good. Type that in the chat right now. Look at the good. Listen, we actually get our house cleaned pretty frequently. I'm a messy individual. My wife was like, I'm over this. We're getting our house cleaned. We get our house cleaned pretty frequently. And I'll never forget one day, I came in the same day that our house had been cleaned, and there was some junk on the countertop. And I went crazy. I was so frustrated. I was like, this house is a mess. And I'm like whining and complaining and throwing a temper tantrum. And it was just because of some clutter on the counter. I mean, our house, the floors were immaculate, the toilet, the bathroom fully cleaned. Everything was taken care of. And yet I was distracted by the clutter. And I think that often the clutter confuses us. I think if we're focused on the negative and the problematic, it becomes so confusing. And if you're like me, it becomes discouraging. And then I'm focused on the clutter in life and not the great things that God is up to. And listen, if you're breathing, God's up to some big things. Right now, he's up to some big things. I think if we start to look at the good, we remind ourselves of what God is doing. Hey, what holds our focus captivates our thoughts and our words. And I just want to encourage you, start focusing on the great things. And number three, and lastly, keep looking. And don't stop looking. In other words, let's keep hoping towards the future. If we stop looking at the possibilities, we settle on the certain. Wow. And man, your life is too short and you are too amazing to settle and marginalize your life. God's up to big things. Here's a scripture I have for you, 2 Corinthians 4. This is in the Message paraphrase. It says this: so we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside, it often looks like things are falling apart on us. COVID is raging. We're in lockdown again. Masks everywhere. On the inside, that's how it feels. On the outside, that's how it feels. On the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times.
Come on.
The lavish celebrations prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, but gone tomorrow. And I love this. But the things we cannot see now will last forever. Why? Because God is up to something big. So keep looking. We put our hope on the things that we can't see yet because we know that God is faithful. Amen?
Come on.
Listen, I want to encourage you. Keep looking. Keep looking. Keep looking.
Come on.
Well, listen, here's what we've talked about so far. We can't allow our experiences to dictate our faith. We've got to be a great steward of what God has given us. And we have some practical steps to take. But at the end of the day, if we're just being honest, I think the question I have for you, Pastor Ben, is this. How do I know God still wants to do the miraculous in my life?
Wow, it's such a great question. And as I was thinking about this question, I'm obviously comes back to faith.
Yeah.
That without faith, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God.
That's right.
And you know, there's human responsibility, there's divine sovereignty. There's that which God does, and there's that which we are responsible for.
Yeah.
And that's the faith part. That's us trusting him, believing that he's going to do it.
Yeah.
And I believe that God is still getting ready to do something great, something big. Matter of fact, I think it's going to be bigger than anything we've ever experienced.
Yep.
When I read the word and I look at the promise of God's word from Genesis to Revelation, I see this, that God is always doing something big. He's always coming through. And I was reminded of this Old Testament passage. We heard a lot from the New Testament. Haggai 2:9 says this. It says, the future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And in this place, I will bring peace. I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. He was looking at a natural temple and prophetically speaking of a spiritual temple being us, that we would inhabit the Spirit of God. But the principle there is this, man, the glory of that which is coming in the future is far better than that which we've had. And I see this theme over and over again in Scripture, and I've always had this thought, that's this, that God saves the best for last.
Yeah.
That God saves the best for last. And I don't believe by any means he's wrapping this thing up yet, but I know this, it's getting better and better and better. Better and better. I was thinking about a New Testament passage as well, and it's John 2. And thinking about Believe Sunday, that together, man, this isn't just the four of us believing for something.
Right. Yeah.
This is us encouraging you to believe for something in your life. And you're going to write those things down, and you're going to pray for those throughout the year. It's not going to be, I'm going to write them down, forget about them.
Right.
We're going to pray through those things.
Right.
But God is into doing the miraculous, and God's going to do miracles for you. And so I thought about the very first miracle that Jesus ever did, because I believe there's principles in that that can help us as we believe for 2021 and what God's going to do. And in this passage, the first miracle that Jesus ever did is he turned water into wine. What a great thing. No wonder he had 12 dudes following him around anywhere. Come on, somebody. He probably would have had 24 had he turned it into craft beer. But man, he had 12 dudes following him. And this is a great passage. He takes water and he turns it into wine. Why is that? Because they're at a wedding celebration. And the Bible says that the wedding is going on. They want to keep partying. And the wine is symbolic of joy here. But the wine has ran out. And so the mother of Jesus is there, and she's like, look, they don't want to stop partying. They want to keep going. They don't want this thing to end. And so she goes to Jesus, who had not yet done a miracle yet, but there's something so powerful. She says, hey, Jesus, throw out a wine. And he's like, Mom, what does that have to do with me? But check this out. Check this out. Jesus has the disciples fill these water pots, fills them with water. And then he says to them, I want you to take that water that's in those water pots. And I want you to carry that water, the master of the ceremonies. And here it is. Let me read it to you. And it says this, Jesus told the servants, this is John 2:7-9-10. It says this, Jesus told his servants, fill the jars with water. And when the jars had been filled, when the master of the ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then everyone who had drank it, and then he brings out the expensive wine. Now check this out. It says, but you have kept the best.
Wow.
Until right now.
Yeah, that's good.
You saved the best for last.
Come on.
And I believe that that's something God's doing.
Yes.
That you know, you heard Megan and she shared, like, I look and I didn't see all of these things come to pass in 2020 yet. I wrote them down. But I believe that God is still working miracles. God is still working on those things right now. And even the ones that you're going to begin to write down today, that God is going to come through. He's going to do it. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's working. And I can't help but think about these people that were carrying this water to the master of the ceremonies. They knew it was water. They knew that's all it was. They didn't taste it themselves. I don't know if they were peeking every once in a while to see if the color changed. I know I would have been peeking, right? I would have been looking. I don't know if they were. All I know is that by the time the water got to the lips of the master of the ceremonies, that water had become wine. Listen to me, as you are walking out your belief for 2021, I don't know at what point God's going to come through. I don't know at what point he's going to begin to do the miracle, but listen to me right now. I believe that no matter what it looks like, man, those might just look like words written on a card. It might just look like water, but as you keep going towards Jesus, as you keep going towards God, as you keep carrying this thing out, I believe that at some point along the journey, God is going to come through, because his timing, like Megan said, his timing is on time. It's not going to be late. It's not going to be early. He's going to come through. And I'm telling you, at the end of it all, whatever you've written down, man, God is going to come through. It might not look like you thought it was going to look, but I'm telling you this, he knows better what you need than you do. All he's asking is for your faith. He's asking for your obedience. And I'm telling you right now, if you would take those things and you would carry it and keep carrying it and keep carrying it, come on, God is going to come through. I believe that with all my heart. But here's the thing. Here's the thing you need to understand today. And that is this. Just believing is not enough. Because it's not about what you're believing for. It's about who you're believing in. You can believe for a lot of things, but unless your faith is founded in Jesus Christ. But with Jesus, I'm telling you, all things are possible. And I'm telling you right now, the greatest miracle you could ever experience is not the miracle of receiving something you write down on a card. God's going to do better. The greatest miracle you could ever receive is the saving grace of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as you're sitting there right now, and here we are, we're encouraging you, and you feel faith coming forth from this place. I want to do this. I want to introduce you to the one that has got us to this place. And his name is Jesus. So right now, you're in your living room, your family room, your kitchen table. Maybe you pulled over to the side of the road in your car. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to hear my words right now. Because I believe that Jesus is standing at the door of your life. And he's saying, son, daughter, I want to do all of those things. But first, I want you to know me. So right now, as your eyes are closed and you've never said yes to Jesus, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Come on right now. Even if there's somebody else in the room, I want you to pray this prayer. I want you to say, Jesus, I love you. And I believe that you're the Son of God and that you died on the cross for my sins. And so Jesus, right now, I confess my sins to you. Now, right now where you're at, those eyes closed. Come on, for the next 30 seconds. Come on, just begin to confess those things that are coming to your mind right now, those things that are separating you from God, those things that are separating you from walking forth in the faith to believe for the things that you want to see happen this year. Come on, just confess them. Come on, come on, come on. 10 more seconds. Just confess them. Hallelujah. Now just say this. Say, Jesus, would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? Fill me with your Spirit and lead me in an abundant life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
You know, I want to just do one thing before we conclude. I just feel like when you were speaking about some people who struggle with their relationship with their father, biological father, and even just Pastor Ben, what you shared about people just wondering, is there still some good stuff in the end, or is this as good as it gets? I just think we need to pray for some people that are watching right now, and you're struggling. You don't even want to write anything down. So in a minute, they're going to put a prompt on the screen for you. Follow that. And a card, an option will come up for you to fill out a digital card. And here's what we're going to do. Before we pray, I'll tell you, next year, right before Thanksgiving, we're going to send you this card and an email. It's anonymous. Nobody will see what you put down. And you get to see the faithfulness of God, because something happens when we attention to what God is doing. But before we get to the semantics, before we get to the logistics, I think something needs to happen in the spiritual. Yeah. And there's some people who are watching right now that just need to be reminded that you matter. Not other people, not somebody that told you about the service, but you matter. And I just wonder, maybe, Pastor Katie, if you could pray first for that specific thing of people struggling with the relationship with an earthly father and how that associates to who God is. And then maybe, Ben, you could just close us out with a prayer after that. Would you mind doing that?
Absolutely. Lord, we thank you for your word that tells us in James 1 that every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God, we thank you that there is no shifting, there's no changing with you. That God, what you've spoken and what you promised in Scripture, God, you are good and you will bring it to pass. Lord, I pray for every individual here today that is struggling to believe that, to believe that you're good, to believe that you have good things in store for them. God, struggling, God, to trust you in that way and with their life. God, I pray that faith would arise. God, that you would show yourself to be that good, good Heavenly Father that they need to be reminded of today. God, that they would put their trust and their hope in you and believe once again.
Come on. Come on. And Lord, right now, God, we thank you, God, for the faith, God, to believe, for the things that you're calling us to write down right now. God, I thank you for faith rising up in every individual right now. God, we're going to believe. God, we're going to pray and we're going to press in and we're going to lean in. God, we truly believe that you're a good God and you really are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, Lord, I ask right now, Lord God, that great faith would rise up. Lord, that we would be great stewards this year. That, God, we would contend for those things. That we would apply the practical applications that we need to. But at the end of it all, God, we don't walk according to our natural eyesight. We walk according to faith. And so, Lord, today on Believe Sunday, God, we come together and we say yes and amen right now before we even see it. God, we declare those things that aren't as though they are. In Jesus' mighty name, let them come to pass. Let faith arise. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
We love you guys.
We love you guys.
We'll see you next year.
God bless.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.